Hello from Brooklyn. I'm Brendan Hart, and welcome to Super Cities, a no BS deep dive conversation about the people and trends moving cities forward. All views expressed are my own and do not reflect our sponsors or partners. Let's get into it. On this episode of Super Cities, we do a deep dive with Patrice Berry and Jason Weiner, current and former executive fellows with Fuse Corp. We cover ensuring college affordability in Oakland, Stockton, California's Promise Initiative, and how to enable cross-sector collaboration locally. Let's hear from Patrice and Jason. Why don't we start with Jason? Jason, would you give us a little bit of backstory? How did you end up working with Fuse Corp?
I'm happy to, and thanks for asking me to be a part of this. So I came to the Fuse Corp through a pathway in mostly nonprofit community-based organization work. I've been the executive director and solo staff of a couple of local economic development organizations and a state policy organization around post-secondary ed. And I've been consulting for about 8 years now, working with nonprofit organizations on facilitation and strategy and grant writing, of course, and fund development. So when I heard about this opportunity in Stockton, especially because for those who don't know how Fuse works, they recruit for the specific position, meaning both the city that's or county that is looking for somebody and the project that you're going to be working on. And so the project was advertised as helping to establish a college promise scholarship program for kids in Stockton. And that was very appealing for me. I have a lot of background in helping get kids to college and other post-secondary training. And I knew I could bring a lot to that. And to be able to work with the team in Stockton was very exciting.
Wonderful. Patrice, how about you? What was your pathway to Fuse, and what were some important milestones along the way?
Sure. And thanks for having us today. I am coming from a long career in education, mostly in the nonprofit sector, working in different community-based organizations. I was in Philadelphia, and then after leaving the University of Pennsylvania's Netter Center for Community Partnerships there, I went to join College Track, where I worked in East Palo Alto, helping first-generation, low-income students of color get into college, but also graduate from college. So we had both a high school program and a college program. And my mission throughout the trajectory of my career has really been just trying to figure out how to make the most impact. And I've enjoyed nonprofit, but I thought maybe policy work or government work could be the avenue by which I pursue, like trying to figure out how to make the most impact. And I discovered Fuse kind of by accident. I've been a member of the Nationswell Council for 3 years now. And Nationswell is sort of a membership community of leaders across the United States who are service oriented and impact oriented. And I met a Fuse fellow and a Fuse employee at this Nationswell conference. And I was completely inspired by the mission, and it seemed perfect because, as Jason mentioned, they're really trying to recruit folks to solve problems in government. And that's what I was really trying to figure out. I've been plotting my way into government for a very long time. And so it seemed like the perfect synergetic moment.
Oh, that's great. I didn't realize the Nationswell connection was so direct. That's great to hear. And so Patrice, let's sort of continue on this point. So you ended up at Fuse and you're working in Oakland. Is that correct? And specifically, you're working on a ambitious project around education. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I am in Oakland, and I was hired, and the director of education in the mayor's office in Oakland likes to say to solve the college affordability problem in Oakland. Big, grand sort of project. What the problem is that we're trying to solve is students are enrolling themselves in the college admissions process, very excited about it, because we don't have an aspiration issue, But once they engage in the college application process and confront the financial aid application process, a lot of students are sort of falling out of the funnel in that process. And so by the end of the day, $24 billion, there's an estimate that $24 billion of federal state aid goes unclaimed every year across the country, $2.3 billion of that, you know, in grants. And so the work that I've been doing in Oakland is trying to better understand what the barriers to access are. If this money exists and students might be able to access that aid to afford college, how can we eliminate some of those barriers so that more students can actually take advantage of the aid that we're helping them get access to? And as a part of that work, we're also trying to design a college affordability model for Oakland that includes a proposal for how students and families could best leverage the financial aid resources available to students, but then also get access to the resources, services, maybe programs that could help prepare them once they do get access to the aid to succeed once they get in college so that they can actually graduate with their degrees.
Patrice, can I ask you just a clarifying question about this project? As these students are falling out of the funnel, is it fundamentally an issue of affordability? Are they leaving the funnel voluntarily because education is too expensive? Or are they falling out of the funnel for purposes of process? So it's not affordability first, but rather paperwork, design, mechanism, sort of whatever other variables there are from going through the process of being able to access some of this government funding?
That's a great question. I will say first that the journey to college is long and begins...
And hard.
Yeah, long and hard for everyone.
Yes.
Especially hard for students whose parents didn't go to college or who encounter every other everyday stressors that distract them from just pursuing sort of college and achievement. And so that aside, once a student has enrolled in the college application process or started to complete the federal application for federal student aid, there is sort of like a series of pain points that a child might encounter along that way that, yes, the process itself makes it really difficult for anyone to sort of persist through and make it to the finish line. That aside, one of the reasons why we're focusing on financial aid and college affordability is because there are, of all the variables that influence a student's ability to go to college, to access college, to pay for it, this is one of those challenges that we actually can impact today, right? We can't guarantee that every child's going to have a quality education. We can't correct any of their education experiences when we interact with them today on this moment. But what we can do is facilitate the process that they have to go through to complete college applications and federal applications for federal student aid. And so one of the reasons why we're focusing on that is because we really think that we can make an impact. And for Oakland Promise High Schools, students are completing the FAFSA at rates at or above 90%, whereas students in other high schools in Oakland are hovering around 70%. And so what we're hoping to do is to scale the kind of hand-to-hand, a high-touch support that we're giving students at Oakland Promise Schools to all of the schools in Oakland so that every student has sort of the opportunity to at least survive this really difficult experience that includes 100-plus questions, some of which are extremely random and unnecessary. That should not be the barrier that keeps a student from pursuing a higher education.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I love the power of localizing this work, right? This isn't sort of a federal initiative, right? Where those tend to sort of be too grand almost by design. But this is a local impact, locally focused effort to really drive sort of tangible and measurable outcome, which is really powerful. I want to return to this point, Patrice, if that's okay, but first, I'd love to hear Jason talk a bit about your Fuse experience in Stockton and the big important project that you were working on.
Sure, thank you. And I do want to echo Patrice's point that the FAFSA, the college applications, and just the concept of going to college, and this is college writ large, it doesn't have to be a four-year school. We could be talking about a two-year program for an associate's degree or transfer. We could be talking about workforce training that's based at a college or an apprenticeship mm-hmm. that's based at a union. All of these are things that are big barriers to get into if for students who don't understand or have parents who know the pathways already. And so the more we can do to smooth those, to get the information into their hands and to, from as early on as possible, make sure they hear that college, again, writ large, college is possible for them and is a pathway that they can do, the more effective we're going to be in getting over those hurdles. So I was asked to come in and help build what's called a College Promise program, as the Oakland Promise is, which in our case meant a scholarship and college access program in the city of Stockton. Fortunately, about 2 weeks after I came on board and started with the mayor's office, the mayor was able to share that he had recruited a $20 million donation to achieve this goal. And that put us way ahead of the game.
In Stockton, Jason, I just want to make sure we understand yes. context here. Yeah. So just map $20 million to Stockton. Right.
Well, Stockton receives far less philanthropic dollars or has over the decades than most other parts of California, especially if you compare the San Joaquin Valley as a whole to places like the Bay Area and Los Angeles. I think I don't have the figures in front of me, but Stockton receives something like 11 cents of every philanthropic dollar, where the Bay Area, Los Angeles is more like 40 cents of every philanthropic dollar. And so this is an enormous amount of money that was brought in specifically to provide that financial leg up to Stockton students. Because with all the public programs and fee waivers and scholarships and loans that are out there, what we find is that most students not only still have gaps, because a lot of those don't cover living expenses and other things, but also they don't understand that you have to cobble all these things together to achieve that college goal. And so to have something that they can understand from a young age, this is waiting for me, this scholarship is here, and if I do what I need to do to get the grades I need to get, that I can move on to the next step, is a huge psychological barrier, but also a very specific overcoming a financial barrier. Studies have found nationwide that students who attend school, low-income students who receive fee waivers and scholarships and tuition waivers and all of these things, still have about a $500 to $1,000 gap in their living expenses. And what that turns into for students who go to a CSU, for example, a Cal State University, they fall so far behind, they work two jobs trying to make rent, trying to make their pay for their books and make fees, that then they end up stopping out for a semester to make up the difference and save up, and they never come back. Mm-hmm. And so having a scholarship that lasts for that amount of time is an enormous leg up in order to get past those things that have tripped up so many kids in the past. And so we were, you know, this gift of $20 million, which is more than just about any other gift in Stockton history, we were able to say we can guarantee a scholarship for about 10 years for Stockton Unified School District students. Stockton Unified is about 40% of the students in the city of Stockton. It's also the district that serves the neighborhoods and communities that have been historically left out, historically underinvested. They're behind. If you look at where the red lines, for those who know that term, of the Federal Housing Administration were in Stockton, it maps very well to those red lines. These were the communities where Filipinos and African Americans and Chinese Americans and Latinos were sent, and farm workers were sent to live because they weren't allowed to live in other parts of Stockton historically. That kind of underinvestment and disinvestment persisted for decades and decades. And so we started with that school district and we're able to say we have a scholarship for 10 years. Because of disclosure laws and things like that, we knew that the word could get out very quickly. So that disclosure of the $20 million donation came in October. We needed to have a launch ready for January. So we turned around and made a public announcement, a public launch of this program in January of 2018. And now here we are sitting in spring of 2019, ready to give the the first set of scholarships to students, to the broad group of students who are graduating this year from Stockton Unified Schools. And in fact, what happened was, through a lot of work, I don't want to discount the amount of work, as Patrice said, that it takes to get students over that FAFSA barrier, received more than 1,200 applications for the scholarship. And more than 1,000 students are going to receive the scholarship moving forward. I believe the letters just went out last week, in fact.
Wow.
And that's 1,000 kids who are getting money to go to college or apprenticeship or workforce training from Stockton Unified. And you build that up over 10 years, and that's a real generational change.
Significant. Incredible, really. Patrice, talk to me a little bit about sort of the process of driving change locally. What are some things that surprised you that worked well or didn't work well? Are there sort of challenges that go beyond getting students to properly fill out paperwork that directly impact that problem set?
Apart from, if we're talking about access to higher education, I think that one of the challenges, and I'll talk more about how it's an opportunity, one of the opportunities is for the K-12 system, specifically high schools within that, to partner more strategically, deeper, with the community college system, the CSU system, the mm-hmm. UC system.
Right.
The stronger and deeper I think those partnerships become in years moving forward, I think the stronger our outcomes will be. Being able to track students as they graduate from high school and enter these higher education systems should not be difficult. We should be able to share data. We should be able to have spaces where we can collaborate and design solutions together across those two different sort of education systems or across all those education systems. And I think that has been a challenge. And I think that that's an opportunity, and folks are in conversation with each other about how we can actually make the collaboration stronger. And I think that'll help move the needle.
So why doesn't that happen now? Is it a structural thing that each system sort of operates just independently from one another sort of structurally? Or is it just the collaborative tissue has not been developed for a variety of reasons, but there is actually no structural impediment to creating this type of more efficient system?
It certainly depends on what you mean by structural. I do think that there are behaviors or decisions we can make locally that will change things dramatically. But if by structural you mean, you know, for Oakland students, and this is different from students in San Francisco, for example, where there's one sort of like city community college system in Oakland, our students can go to 5 different community colleges, and each of those community colleges has a different president and a different system and a different way of doing things. And although folks are in communication and are extremely collaborative, that certainly, if we're not strategic planning together, or there's no sort of emergent strategy that links all of our work together, then students then have a more difficult, not as seamless experience trying to get from their high school to those colleges, because there are 5 different sort of systems that an educator, a practitioner, an advisor supporting the student has to navigate in order to create change for students.
Got it. Yeah. Well, when I was thinking structural, I mean, I've just heard stories that, you know, there's regulations or there's established policies that don't allow information sharing between, say, a high school and a community college. And that feels like a different problem than there's no regulation, there's no policy that says you can't do this. It just hasn't been done before.
I personally believe, and I might get in trouble for saying this, that we can, the legal constraints around data sharing, that is more a problem for our high school students than it is for our college students, we can get around, right? So National Student Clearinghouse relies on students to opt in to sharing data. That process, if we can, I believe that we can do the same with our high school students, especially with a program like Oakland Promise, where students are receiving scholarships. I think there are ways and strategies, if we are committed to designing them, that would allow us to sort of transcend sort of the very real bureaucratic and legal sort of constraints around data sharing.
I fully agree. And I think the biggest barriers are really about the legacy systems, the data systems that those institutions have, and getting over those barriers of working together. But the legal barriers, once you build the trust that's needed, you can get to the solution to those.
Yeah, it's something that I always find encouraging in some ways, that if we sort of apply design principles to some of these challenges, like opt out rather than opt in, that type of thing, just sort of small changes at the right points in the process affect pretty substantial outcomes. Jason, the point that you were making about college affordability in Stockton and this sort of large philanthropic gift, what other challenges were related to college affordability other than just the amount of money? Were they similar, sort of FAFSA based, or were they social? Was it an issue that existed within the system of education? I know it was likely sort of all of those things, but does anything come to mind specific to Stockton that you found interesting?
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right that it's all of those things. You know, one of the biggest barriers is that there's not a public university in Stockton. There's a private institution that has done an increasingly good job of partnering with the community and trying to bring more Stockton students in. That's the University of the Pacific. But there is no CSU, and there's no Cal Poly, and there's no UC within many miles of Stockton. So students have historically had to commute. There is a community college, Delta College, that again does an increasingly good job of serving students. But a lot of students commute. They, in order to go to college, they commute to Sacramento, they commute to Fresno, they commute to Turlock. So that's an enormous barrier because there's transportation and work issues that go with that. And also that they don't have the university in town to see, you know, to be on the campus, to get used to it, to understand, have the outreach there. There has been an outpost of Cal State Stanislaus, which again, is trying to expand and do a better job. But it's also been very small and focused on a couple of degree programs. So that's one barrier. The other is that the college culture and the college-going culture of high schools and junior highs and elementary schools, we can't just put this on the high schools. Mm-hmm. It needs to be focused on that from day one when you have a population. I'll just give you an example. South Stockton, in what we call the Promise Zone, which is an area that includes the neighborhoods of South Stockton, Midtown, and Magnolia, only about 8% of adults have a four-year college degree. So you have an enormous number of students. And that, by the way, is only about, if I remember correctly, 34% of adults citywide have a four-year college degree. So they don't have the example of their parents and the institutional knowledge of their parents on how to navigate these systems, which can be very difficult to understand. And there's also cultural barriers about girls leaving the home to go away to college. That can be an issue. There's language barriers, certainly with parents and some with students. And just so many things kind of put in their way along the way that the more we can do to smooth those out, the more we can have someone one-on-one working with them, the better. The FAFSA itself, disclosing financial information, not only just completing it, but the willingness to disclose to the government when you have, say, a family that has some undocumented members can be very difficult to overcome. And so what we found in learning from other College Promise programs that had come before, like Richmond, is that putting resources into working one-on-one with students and families is the key to getting over that FAFSA barrier. And it takes a lot of intense counseling to do that. And until you can completely transform the culture of your community and the resources available in schools and the attitude of elementary schools and middle schools and high schools toward college, then you need that one-on-one intense counseling.
And specifically, who is that one-on-one counselor, is that in Stockton, in these schools, does that tend to be a teacher or an administrator or
sure,
or someone else?
Well, we've seen a lot of success at schools where they've put the focus on, and this is a technical California term, the A to G requirements, which is the course requirements that are looked at in order to get into a Cal State University or a UC. And students need to have completed those requirements in order to gain admission. So some students are able to finish those in high school, and that's the smoothest pathway. And some need to go back and finish them afterwards. And that can be an enormous barrier later on, because you're doing, you know, for example, if you go to a community college, you need to complete those A to G requirements as well as those first 2 years of college education in order to move up. And that can take 3-4 years sometimes, especially to get the classes you want and need. So first of all, the biggest one is principals and school administrators who are dedicated to making sure that A to G curriculum is both available to all students and accessible to all students, that it's not just the honors level that are going into these classes. But the one-on-one direct work, we were fortunate that Stockton Unified has been committed to this, hired a number more counselors in the last year to come on board and do some of this work. But also the nonprofit that houses Stockton Scholars, which is our Promise program, brought on employees to do that one-on-one work and focused resources on doing that one-on-one work, recruited more funds. And they did, I can't credit them enough, college blitz nights at different high schools where they would go in and have a classroom of students and do the FAFSA right there and their college applications right there. They did multiple sessions of training and outreach with college counselors, with high school counselors, excuse me, and just bringing all of the partners together so that they know that this financial resource is there, but also to keep the focus on what does this student need to do to get into the college and achieve their goals.
Yeah, that's great. Patrice, so you talked a little bit about how you ended up at Fuse. How do you describe the Fuse experience and more generally the experience working with city government? How do you describe that experience to people who have not had professional experience in education or in city government? How do you describe that? How do you think about that?
Being a Fuse Executive Fellow in the city of Oakland in the mayor's office is an opportunity for me to leverage my experience in education to address a problem I've encountered for so long, but haven't had an opportunity to sort of narrowly focus on, which is college affordability, with the influential platform of the mayor's office. And I think today that remains true. And I am constantly inspired by the Oakland Promise, which was incubated out of the mayor's office. I think it is the boldest, most audacious idea I've encountered. It's an economic mobility strategy. It is a college completion strategy. It is a family wealth that strategy to disrupt cycles of poverty. And I think that as a Fuse Executive Fellow, having an opportunity to not only deploy insight to pursue new insight, it's been an incredible and interesting opportunity. I appreciate the platform, but also, I guess I'll say this in short, the space to actually just focus on a piece of this, because I actually think that that is what is required. You mentioned earlier design thinking principles. If we're really going to change systems and disrupt systems, that's a long sort of like path to change. But I think if we can apply some of the talent that we do have to disrupt the system in these small ways incrementally, I think that could lead to really big sort of powerful change, especially in Oakland, where we have something like the Oakland Promise. This cradle to career approach to addressing a very real problem like economic mobility.
Yeah, it makes sense. And if I'm hearing you correctly, this type of program, the sort of size and ambition, needs to live within the the mayor's office at some level. It needs sort of executive authority or top cover or convening power. It needs an executive platform because it is so large, touches on multiple systems, I'm sure. Is that correct? I mean, is there a substitute basically for executive leadership in order to drive change?
I actually think that it may have been necessary to start that way, but I think what our mayor, Mayor Libby Schaaf, is really trying to do is change the way that government works with public systems like education. And so maybe it required her leadership and vision to initiate, to supercharge this initiative. But I actually think, and this is a part of her brilliance, was that starting it, that's not going to be the strength of the resilience of the effort. The effort actually needs to live in the community. This is a multi-sector approach, and I think she did her job, and now she's galvanizing the community around it so that the future of it can be owned by the community. And that's an important element of its sustainability. Like, we have to partner together. And I mentioned this earlier when I spoke about data, and we need to deploy everyone's sort of like talent. The work we're already doing needs to be sort of directed towards this movement. And I think that's part of its power.
And it has to outlive any one person, right?
Exactly.
Any mayor or champion. That's powerful. Jason, have you experienced something similar within your work at Fuse and now since you've moved on, the idea of this sort of balance between executive leadership and community input and buy-in?
Yes, absolutely. And I think Patrice was spot on. And similar to what Mayor Schaaf is doing in Oakland, Mayor Tubbs in Stockton, starting from when he became a city council member, wanted to institute and bring forward more cradle to career supports for the residents of the most, we'll say, impacted neighborhoods in Stockton. You can't do that just through city government. You can never do something like that through one institution, but that institution needs to partner with the city. And so the way it was set up in Stockton is actually a set of community organizations, because the city of Stockton didn't have funds to bring on a number of new employees or even expand the mayor's office. It's a very small mayor's office with a council manager system in Stockton. So the answer was to work from the community. And so at the same time as he became a council member in South Stockton, there was really a groundswell of community energy around solving these problems, and starting from community summits and a real collective impact program that brought together high-level stakeholders like the health systems and the school district and the city and the police department, but also neighborhoods and neighborhood groups to figure out what are the biggest challenges facing those neighborhoods and what are the solutions that the community wanted to see. And how can they work together to implement them? And that goes for education, where, you know, we needed a big investment to get a college scholarship program started, but also really moving the needle on things like third grade literacy, which takes the school district partnerships, but also community groups and others and parents to really buy into. We need to move this number, this level of third grade level literacy. And that goes for mental health and trauma informed care as well, where the health systems are going to play a much bigger role. And all of that is way bigger than one mayor and even one city government. It takes all the players to come together in a collective impact program and model, and to continue that over a long period of time. When Mayor Tubbs has completed his term and moves on to whatever else he's going to do, that needs to continue without him, because it doesn't come from him. It comes from the community.
It makes sense. It's such important work and time consuming, and that thinking about sustainability on the front end is really important. Patrice, where can listeners find out more about FuseCorps and you and your work in Oakland?
So if folks want to follow and keep up with the Oakland Promise movement, we are at www.oaklandpromise.org. And of course, if you're interested in keeping up with Fuse Corps, learning about the projects, there are people all over the country doing very similar work. We are at fusecorps.org.
Thank you. Jason, where can listeners find out more about the good work being done in Stockton, and where can they find you?
Absolutely. So StocktonScholars.org is where the scholarship program and College Promise program is located. And they also have on Twitter, Stockton Scholar without the S, because it got a little too long. Additionally, reinventstockton.org would be a great place to go to keep up with more of what's happening around the entire project to reinvent Stockton.
Jason and Patrice, I really, really appreciate your time. It was great hearing about the work that you all have done and continue to do in Oakland and Stockton. So thanks so much for taking some time with us.
Thank you for having us.
That does it for this episode of Super Cities. Before we go, some real talk. Cities feel broken, too expensive, too crowded, too chaotic. So we created Super Cities to elevate the people and trends moving cities forward. This movement is just getting started, so please rate, review, and subscribe to Super Cities and tag us using hashtag Super Cities. Your support really helps, and I'm thankful for it. This is Brendan Hart and Super Cities, signing off for now.